familiar story as we just work our way through this series on who is Jesus. So Mark's Gospel and chapter 2. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed, glorifying God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And so reads God's word. In our passage here this evening we just read, it starts off with a huge crowd. Jesus was becoming a bit of celebrity. We've worked our way through chapter 1. He's been healing lots of people. And because you're a great healer, performing miracles, you can understand why he becomes a bit of celebrity around the Sea of Galilee area. And he's in a home. It says he returned home. Not sure if it's his own house that Jesus was in. The Bible never tells us anywhere else that he owned a house himself. It possibly could have been the house of Simon Peter's mother, where the disciples would have stayed at different stages. But this house is packed. Everybody wants to go. They want to listen to Jesus, and they want to see perhaps if he's going to perform one of these miracles, one of these healing miracles that he's done in the past. And so there's this huge crowd. I wonder what kind of people made up that crowd. Some of them would have been believers. They would have realized who Jesus was. Some of these people would have been curious. This sounds exciting. Somebody can perform miraculous signs. And so they're curious and they want to see. Perhaps there's people searching. They're searching for truth. Or maybe there's people who are skeptical. They don't believe the stories, but they want to have a good look for themselves. Jesus is still popular today. Churches are still full. We have a good crowd here this evening. And maybe you fall into one of those categories. Maybe you're a believer. Or maybe you're somebody who's curious. You want to find out a bit more. Maybe you're somebody who's searching. You're searching for truth. You're searching for that changed life that John's been sharing about this evening. Or maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you're dragged along. Maybe your parents have brought you along, or a spouse. And that's why you're here. And we hope that you hear from Jesus Christ tonight. There's a big crowd, but there was a big issue that was burning into the hearts of five men. A man who was paralyzed, hadn't walked, couldn't walk, and his four friends. And that was the big issue in this man's life, that he couldn't walk. And there was a healer in town. And this is the person you want to get to. When you've got this big issue, nothing is going to stop you until you get the big issue dealt with in your life. And these men are desperate to get to Jesus. And we know they're desperate because what they did with the roof of the house where Jesus was. I have a problem in our roof at home. We have a leak just above the landing. And so we have this water damage, and I really do need to phone up tomorrow and get somebody to come along and fix it. But after these men had finished, they really had a roof problem. These men got up on the roof. Because the house was packed, they couldn't get this paralyzed man, their friend, in to see Jesus. They took the roof apart, and they lowered Jesus down to his feet. What does that say? These men were desperate to get to Jesus Christ. This was a big, big issue that was burning into their heart. But a big issue. But they brought their big issue to the right person, Jesus Christ. But there's a fascinating response. After this man, this paralyzed man, has been lowered down to Jesus' feet, verse 5 says, "And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" It's as if Jesus has made a big mistake. They're desperate. They want Jesus to heal their friend. And it seems as if Jesus is oblivious to the reason why they've come. Here's a man lying on a stretcher, and Jesus starts talking about his sin. It's as if he's missed the point. They're desperate for physical healing. And Jesus, it seems, has gone off on a tangent. He starts to talk about this man's sins. He's not a great doctor, is it? He's made the wrong diagnosis. He's made a big mistake in this situation. But Jesus had made no mistake. And he knew what was going through their mind at this stage. He even knew what others were thinking as well. Look at verse 7, because in the crowd were these scribes, these religious people. Verse 7 says, "Why does this man speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" This man's a blasphemer. He's talking about forgiving people's sins. Only God has the power and the ability to forgive people's sins. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were thinking because he really was God. And Jesus is God. And so he turns around and asks them a big question that we read about in verse 9. Verse 9 says, well, Jesus replies to these people who are thinking things in their head. They haven't spoken it out loud, but he speaks out loud to them in verse 9. "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'?" It's the big question. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? Do you know what's easier to say? It's easier to say your sins are forgiven. I could turn to John here in the front row and say, "John, your sins are forgiven." John would have to take my word for it. He wouldn't see anything happen. He wouldn't have any fuzzy feeling inside. He'd just have to take my word for it. Anybody could make that claim. Anybody could say that. Your sins are forgiven. But they actually turn around and heal this man in front of all these witnesses. Now that's a lot harder. But then Jesus gives them the big proof. The big proof that he really is who Mark has been trying to tell us who he is the whole way through this book so far, that Jesus really is the Son of God. Look at verses 10 through to 12. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, and so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" There was total proof. There was total proof that Jesus Christ is different, that Jesus Christ has the authority not only to forgive sins, but he has the ability to raise people from the dead. "We never saw anything like this." How was he able to do it? Because Jesus really is the Son of God. There were lots and lots of different issues in that room. For that man who came in the stretcher, the big issue for him, his greatest need, as far as he thought, was a physical need, so that he'd be able to walk again. Jesus didn't deal with that big issue in the man's life. Do you know why? Jesus realized that that man had an even bigger issue. And the bigger issue in that man's heart wasn't a physical issue. It was a spiritual issue. This man, yes, he needed healed physically, but more importantly, he needed healing spiritually. He had sin in his life. And that sin was separating him from a holy God. And yes, Jesus had the power to heal him. But one day he would get older again. Maybe he'd struggle to walk. He'd need a walking stick. At some stage in his life, he would die. And he would face his God. And his sin would separate him from God. And that was the bigger issue. That was the biggest need in the man's life. It was his sin and it was his soul. And that's why Jesus dealt with that issue first of all. And Jesus is the only one who can deal with that bigger issue in each one of our hearts and lives. Because he is the Son of God. And he's the Son of God who came into this world and died on a cross to take the punishment for our sins. And because he took the punishment, he is the only one who is able to forgive us our sins. He proved he was the Son of God by healing the man. But when Jesus Christ forgives somebody for their sins, he actually performs a greater miracle. At the age of 17, when John trusted Christ in the back row of Londonderry Baptist, or maybe when he went home, that was a greater miracle than this paralyzed man getting up and walking. When I was 7 years of age, sitting in a toy box in my garage and carried off, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, when my sins were dealt with, that was the greater miracle, because Jesus Christ dealt with the biggest issue in my heart and my life. I wonder this evening as we finish, what are the big issues in your life at the moment? What are the things that are occupying your mind and your thought? Maybe it's addiction, like John's been sharing about. Maybe it's stress, depression, Maybe you've got financial anxieties, work stresses. Maybe it's family. Family members, you're breaking your heart. Maybe it's lust, something you're struggling with. Maybe it's an addiction to something like pornography. It's very widespread at the moment. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe your big issue is a physical thing like this paralyzed man. If you're struggling with big issues in your life, there is nothing too big for Jesus Christ. Nothing's too big. Why? Because Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. And so when John talks to people who are struggling with big issues in their life, who does he point them to? He points them to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is big enough to deal with any issue. And so John encourages people to make Jesus Christ the center of their life. But what's the biggest issue in each one of our hearts that needs to be dealt with at some stage in our life? It's our sin. And the only person who can deal with that is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I love the words of Galatians 2 and 20, which says, Paul wrote these words. Talking about Jesus, he describes him as the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. He gave himself on the cross and he is able to deal with our sins. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never dealt with that biggest issue in your life. You've never dealt with that sin issue. That's the priority. That's the one Jesus Christ wants to deal with first of all. If you've never had that dealt with, then come to Christ and to trust him as your Savior. But here's a challenge, because I know many of us here this evening are Christians. Let's think about these four friends. They knew there was a big issue in their friend's life, and they were desperate to get their friend to Jesus, because they knew Jesus could deal with it. And if we're Christians tonight, we have lots of family members, and we have lots of friends, and they have big issues in their lives. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's just apathy that they don't even care about spiritual matters. But are we desperate to get our family and friends, our loved ones, are we desperate to get them to Christ? The only one who can really deal with the big issues and the biggest issue in their hearts and their lives. Are we desperate to get them to Christ? We'll not stop at anything. Praying for them, as John's praying for his son, desperate that his son would come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior as well. Are we praying for people? Are we making every effort to invite them to things, to give them the scriptures, to give them literature, to chat with them? Are we desperate to get these people to Jesus Christ? Jesus is the only one who can deal with all these issues in people's lives. So who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If we really believe this, then we would bring all our issues to Christ. And we'd be desperate to bring others to Christ as well.